The Volume.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The J Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders, they make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
All right, what's up, everybody? And we're back. Excited to be back. David Cohn, Blaine Crane joining me from remote, undisclosed, somewhat historical locations. Appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you turn those notifications on, hit subscribe. The Volume's got unbelievable stuff. And go ahead and hit that like button while you're at it. And a big surprise, obviously, you know, we dive deep into college football. You know, might as well be wearing scuba gear. We dive so deep. But we're going to throw a little different flavor into the pasta today. We're going to talk a little college basketball as we are sprinting toward March. College football season goes really fast. College basketball season goes even faster. And I will still die on the hill of March Madness is the greatest postseason sporting event in all sports, professional and amateur, even though I don't know if you can even call college sports amateur anymore with NIL. I guess you can say somewhat amateur. Don't Google that, by the way. But I want to start with a big controversy in college basketball. We're going to get to the SEC. I want to talk a little bit about the SEC as well. But Gonzaga in the new AP poll is number one. There's been a lot of discussion on Auburn, an SEC team, Bruce Pearl. You know, they're 15-1, 16-1, maybe. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. They're undefeated in the SEC, picked up two huge road wins at Alabama and then at Oxford at the Tad Pad, where it's very hard to win. Auburn has not had a lot of success in either one of those places. But there's been a lot of discussion about who should be number one. And when I look at this, Auburn and Gonzaga do not play each other. They will not play each other. So we obviously don't have anything to look at head to head. So the next thing you look at is record, resume, and common opponent. All right. Mm-hmm. I think we can go ahead and say, from a resume standpoint, Auburn plays in a better conference than Gonzaga. A win at Ole Miss is a lot better than a win at Santa Clara. A win in Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa is a lot better than a win over, you know, Sister Mary in the blind and poor state. Not saying that Gonzaga doesn't have any good competition, but from a depth standpoint, it's not even close. Then you look at common opponent. Alabama, who's 11-6 right now and struggling in SEC play, went out to Seattle and pulled Gonzaga's pants down in front of everybody. Played very well and beat them up, out-physical them. They put, you know, Chet Holmgren in a chokehold for the whole game. Auburn goes to Alabama, beats them by 4. Really could have been more when you look at the game. So there were two voters, and I'm not going to say their names because it doesn't matter. And really, does the AP poll mean that much? No, especially in January. But there are some superlatives. Auburn's never been ranked number one in the AP before. It's obviously a huge recruiting tool. Now, it's also, if you look at it from a motivational standpoint, probably the best thing that could have happened to Bruce Pearl in Auburn, who gets Georgia at home on Wednesday, and then Kentucky, Big Blue, rolls into town on Saturday, and there's no telling. You won't be able to breathe oxygen in that place. It's going to be so nuts on Saturday, and I think Georgia is going to get absolutely dismantled on Wednesday. They're just not a very good basketball team. Tom Crean is on his way out. But you had two voters rank Auburn 9th, I believe, and 8th, and that kept them out of the number one spot. Auburn had 36 first-place votes, and Gonzaga had 25, yet Gonzaga is number one. And here's what I have to say to those voters. One of them is on record saying that he thinks Auburn has the best resume in the country, but on a neutral court, they wouldn't be favored against 6 or 7 other teams. Well, there's a couple problems with using that method. Number one, you're not Vegas, man. You're not. You're a writer for the Kansas City Star. You're not Las Vegas. You don't know that. Is your last name FanDuel? I don't think so, at least from the records I've looked at. Number two, you just said Auburn had the best resume in the country. Is that not what we're looking at? Is a resume not a collection of all the things that are important to be able to rank people in a certain place that makes sense and can be backed up analytically and statistically? So on one hand, you're saying Auburn has the best resume in the country, which should trump everything, should trump all of it. But they wouldn't be favored against 6 or 7 or 8 other teams. To me, number one, those two things really struggle to coexist, especially when you have a collection of voters outside of yourself. You are the anomaly. You are the outside thinker in this whole deal. And I've never understood, whenever you start a conversation and say that basically merit doesn't matter, you've already lost the conversation. I mean, this isn't the Wonder Emporium. We're not trying to figure out Blue's Clues or get through Pan's Labyrinth. If they have the best resume, genius, put them number one. To me, when he said that, you should almost have your vote stripped away for using that logic, because it's just not logical. Cone, what do you think?
Yeah, well, look, I'd love to add a little variety and disagree here, but I can't. I don't understand this. It's very surprising, and I don't understand how you don't give Auburn a chance to be the number one seed right now. You know, look, I get it. Gonzaga is a phenomenal basketball team, a storied program, and Jake, they very well may win it all this season. That's not what you and I are talking about. I get it. That is not what we're talking about, and I have no doubt that the last three wins, where they put up triple digit point totals, had something to play into this. I get that. But look, Auburn's only loss is a double overtime thriller against UConn outside of the country. And not only that, but when you start talking about common opponents, okay, Auburn has a victory at Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa, and Gonzaga lost to that same Alabama team. So why not give Auburn a shot to be number one here? But Jake, look, for Auburn fans out there listening, I will at least console them into knowing that Bruce Pearl and the Auburn basketball team does not care about this at all. Yeah, it might be nice to say, hey, we were ranked number one in January to help with recruiting. They are not focused on this at all. They do not care. All that matters is being ranked number one in April. And I say this all the time when we talk about football, okay? It's especially true in basketball because 68 teams are going to get into the postseason tournament. Be one of the top 68 and you have a chance to win it all. And that's all that Auburn is focused on right now.
Yeah, and Blaine, a poll is nothing but a snapshot in time. And when you take that snapshot in time, you look at who has the best resume at that time. Am I crazy thinking that? Or I mean, what do you think?
No, you're logical thinking that. And at the end of the day, you know, women lie, men lie, numbers don't lie. I mean, facts are facts, right? And you go to the common opponent. I mean, there's certain things I could try to find, but y'all hit it all. You go to the common opponent, that's Alabama. You lost by 11 against Alabama, right? Auburn went to Alabama and won by 4 and at one point up by 13 or 14 points. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense to me. And you go back, and I kind of think, you know, the Kansas guy you were talking about, I don't know, maybe there's a little something more behind this because the last time Auburn played Kansas was in the NCAA tournament, and Auburn absolutely routed them by, I think, 20-plus points, and it wasn't even close. So at the end of the day, I just want things to make sense, right? At the end of the day, you look at certain categories and certain things add up. And at the end of the day, Auburn's the best team in the nation. And in my opinion, it's really not that close. I mean, Gonzaga's what, 15-2, and you lost to Alabama. And Auburn had a road win at, you know how hard it is to win at Alabama, especially if you're Auburn? It's not easy, buddy. And I promise you that. And I think Auburn hasn't played a full game, two halves of the game yet. And I think Auburn, with the transfers that they have, are still growing. But at the end of the day, I think there's something maybe a little bit more behind this other than numbers, because realistically, if you look at these numbers, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, and that's the same guy who I believe had ranked Auburn a couple years ago very, very, very far from where they should be and where everybody else. I just don't understand if you're a voter and you are tasked with this, not that you can't have your opinion, but you can't have just crazy outside of the box. I don't understand it. I don't think you can logically make it make sense or make the math add up, because it just doesn't.
Hey, Jake, one more thing. I want to see those eight teams that would be favored against Auburn. I want to see. Show me those eight teams, and I'll show you a liar. That's what I'll do, because there's not eight teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you believe there's eight teams out there that I think would be favored over Auburn, there's some great beachfront property in Kansas I'm dying to sell you for a great price. But kind of looking at the bigger scope, and something we've talked about even before basketball season and we've talked about on social media, is the SEC starting to climb the basketball ranks and put themselves up towards the top. Now, you look at the SEC this year, and I could make the argument that the SEC from top to bottom is as deep as it's ever been. Now, Georgia, they're not very good. I'll go ahead and tell you. But if you look at their schedule before this, they've won some games that you'd be like, wow, that's actually somewhat impressive. Now, they're getting absolutely dismantled in conference play, and I don't see that slowing down Wednesday. But there is not a night off in the SEC. I mean, Mississippi State has a chance to be a really good basketball team. They have a ton of pieces. Alabama, even though they're struggling, I mean, they've got a ton of pieces that Bediako can start figuring it out down low, and Quinterly can wake up and turn the jelly fan back on. Alabama's very scary, especially with that guard play. Florida's got Castleton, who, if they get in the tournament, is going to be a problem. He is going to be a problem for somebody. LSU, even though they're struggling to score without Pinson, and they're 3-2 in the conference, their record and resume looks pretty good. Have a chance against Alabama on the road in Coleman this Wednesday, actually, in what should be a hell of a game. Tennessee's a problem. Go through the list. We know about Kentucky, even though I don't think Kentucky is as elite as what some people think they are, because they really haven't beaten anybody. The hardest teams on their schedule, they've lost to. You know, they lost to Notre Dame. They've lost a couple other big games. Now, against Tennessee, they look like the Harlem Globetrotters. They were shooting at such a high percentage, shot like 70% or something for the game, and they got hot. And again, I do want to give our condolences for Joe B. Hall, a former Kentucky coach and a legend in the conference who passed away. I thought it was an unbelievable show for Coach Calipari, a show of respect. He came, number one, he held the program in his hand the whole game like Joe B. Hall did, and then came out in a 1-3-1 defense, which Calipari does not run, but was a staple for Joe B. Hall. So I thought that was a great character. And I've been hard on Calipari. I think he's underachieved at Kentucky. But when you look at the SEC, and Blaine, I'll start with you, I believe they have six teams right now. They could get eight teams in the tournament. And Arkansas is going to turn it around. They started with the win at LSU. But I don't think they just have teams that are going to get in the tournament. I think they have depth enough to have multiple teams make somewhat of a deep run in the tournament until inevitably you play each other.
Yeah, the SEC is the best conference in the league. I mean, from top to bottom, it just is. The speed difference in the bench, the amount of depth the SEC has is insane, especially this year. And you actually have teams right now that are somewhat underperforming. What I think at Alabama, I think Alabama and Shackelford and Quinterly have one of the best guards in the country. These guys are absolutely sick with it, especially Quinterly Jellyfam. You got A&M who's stepping up. You know, Ole Miss, not out. They're out of it, but not a bad basketball team. You saw in the first half against Auburn, they couldn't miss a shot. So at the end of the day, I think the SEC is the best conference in the league. And at this point, it's really not even that close. Because LSU, when Penn State gets back for LSU, LSU will be fine, especially late. The only thing LSU is missing right now is scoring. Their defense is one of the best in the nation. And Penn State kind of fills that gap and that hole for LSU when it comes to getting points. Then you have Auburn. And I think Kentucky, realistically, is only getting better. I think Ty Washington is a phenomenal player at Kentucky. He got hot against Tennessee. And I just think the speed difference, I think you kind of saw that with Alabama and Gonzaga, right? The speed difference in the SEC, I think, is the biggest difference in the league. And it comes back to this. If the SEC wants to be the best at something and they really care about it, it will not take them long to be the best, right? And you're seeing that starting to show out in the SEC.
For sure. And you've seen, Cone, the dedication from these SEC schools. You look at the coaches that are in the league now. You look at the facilities and the upgrades that are coming. You look at some of the environments in the SEC. I mean, it's just absolute hostility going in there. Blaine made a good point. We say it all the time. When the SEC decides they want to be the best at something, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it can happen a lot quicker than other conferences can. Because look at the other sports, Cone. Football, we know the SEC is the best. Baseball, we know the SEC is the best. Gymnastics, softball, I can go down the list. What is one of the few mountains left to climb for the SEC as they battle the Klingons for interstellar domination? It's basketball, is it not?
Yeah, I don't think I'd go as far as Blaine right now and say that the SEC is the best basketball conference in the country, but it is very, very clear that they are making college basketball a priority, and that should be very scary for the rest of the country. Because, Jake, I do agree with you, and you said this the first week we ever met, which is the SEC will be the best basketball conference in the country in 5 years or under, and I think that they are well on their way for that. And we'll see come March. I'll tell you another thing that helps the SEC in this argument is last season with the Big Ten being so dominant, but remember we were playing like a conference only sort of schedule with COVID, and then all of a sudden every conference gets unleashed in March and the Big Ten got dominated. They got dominated from every team that they played in every fashion, and that did not look good. And a lot of those teams were SEC teams. So, you know, I think that the SEC is well on their way. And Jake, what I wanted to ask you, getting back to the Auburn question, is do you think Auburn has the juice this season to ride out this very tough SEC conference and possibly grab one of those few one seeds?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Katz right now has the number one in his power rankings of 36 teams. I mean, I'm looking – it's to the point now where I'm watching other basketball games, whether it's on the Big Ten Network, whether it's on the Pac-12 Network. I get my string and my cup out to get that one in. And they're talking about Auburn as a one seed. I think it's very likely. You know, the SEC's so deep and it's tough. I think the winner of the SEC – you could win 13 games and win the SEC. But Auburn handling business on the road. Guys, we have to remember, Auburn on the road is undefeated. Their one loss was on a neutral floor. So, and it's not like you haven't gone and played anybody anywhere else. You beat an unbelievable Murray State team at home with Tevin Brown in a group that's going to be a problem. St. Louis, the Billikens, one of my favorites mascots, even though I still have no idea what that is. It was a really good team that they played and beat on the road. So they've been battle tested. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule. Wednesday, they play a Maine, Georgia team at home. You know, Saturday, Kentucky at home. They get past Kentucky at home on Saturday. I don't think Auburn loses more than two SEC games. And when you look at how many games they have left, I mean, that overall record would be incredible. The KenPom, which is huge, would be incredible. The net would be incredible. So I think Auburn has positioned themselves about as good as you can. And the difference is the depth on the team. And it's not like, you know, South Carolina plays 12 guys because they're trying to figure out who the hell can be the best five on the court to give them the best chance. Auburn is just putting guys out there, and they're starting to cut minutes a little bit. You're not seeing as much Lior Berman. You're not seeing as much Chris Moore. I'm sure it's not going to be long before Cambridge you start seeing that playing time going down. So Bruce is molding the sculpture right now. He's like, he's about halfway through. He's chiseling through it, going back and looking. So I think Auburn has put themselves in a position, and I do think they're the best team in the Southeastern Conference right now from top to bottom. I don't think it's that much of a stretch, or there's not a huge argument against that. So, Cone, I think right now, and I know Gonzaga doesn't play great competition, so you can probably go ahead and lock them in for one. Baylor just lost two games at home. They just lost two games at home as the number one in this college basketball season has been crazy. I mean, again, who let the dogs out? You can hear it. I mean, they're barking. They know. They understand. Auburn's probably going to get one of those one seeds. You look around the rest of the country, USC fell on the road against a Stanford team that isn't great. UCLA dropped one to Oregon, one late. I think everything went right for Oregon. But right now, with the schedule that's left and the ability of the team, I don't think it's a stretch at all to say Auburn is in as good as a position or better position of anyone to grab one of those number one seeds. And if you grab one of those number one seeds, typically your road, I know this is obvious, is a lot easier than everybody else's. But I will caution, Virginia was a one seed and lost to UMBKCLTWLTL about 3 or 4 years ago. So we've seen this movie before. But again, Cone, I think Auburn is in as good as a position. I'll be interested to see how some of these teams rebound, though, in the Southeastern Conference. How does Alabama rebound, and what seed can they get? Because I'm telling you right now, they lose to LSU on Wednesday, you're 11-7. You're 11-7. And my question for Alabama fans, and we have a great Alabama following, and they're passionate about basketball too, is at what point do you start wondering, was that a one-hit wonder with Avery Johnson's players? I mean, we really got – I watched Gus Malzahn take Auburn to the Natty in 2013 and then not sniff it after that. And Alabama, it's not like they went to the Final Four, but Herb Jones, Avery Johnson guy. Alex Reese, Avery Johnson guy. I can go down the list, and losing Primo hurt him more than anything. But I'm very interested to see how Nate Oates may go from the bell of the ball to the jester in court if they don't turn around, because Alabama fans, we say it all the time, he let him sip it from the cup it early in his tenure. And once you do that, the standard is raised. It is set. And if you don't meet that standard with a passionate fan base like Alabama has, because they'll show out. Alabama will show out. They'll put the hard hats on and show out. But Alabama's one. A&M, I'm still not 100% a believer in them. I'm really not. LSU's 3-2. I think they're going to be fine. Blaine brought up the point about defense. Kentucky will be fine. Tennessee's another one I'm very interested to see, because they haven't looked like world beaters. They struggle to score. Yeah. They had their best output against Kentucky offensively, but they gave up like 335 points, so it really didn't matter. So when you're looking at the landscape, it is going to be a fist fight from here on out in the SEC, especially from about spots 3 through 9. That's where you're going to see it all get congested, and it's going to come down to the wire. But you guys know as well as I do, I love watching great basketball, and teams transform and evolve as we get closer to March.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
All right, now we want to transition back into football, get back in the bag a little bit. And we've had a little bit of a change philosophically from Clemson. Because if you've noticed in the past, Clemson not big on the transfers, not big on the JUCOs. But all of a sudden, you look out in the jungle and the leaves are changing colors. Everybody's going to the portal. You look at what Bama's doing. You look at what Georgia's doing. You look at what USC's doing. And I think Dabo looked around because Hunter Johnson, the Northwestern quarterback, just transferred back to Clemson. And some people say, well, it doesn't really count because he was at Clemson before and then left and went, no. He transferred from Northwestern to Clemson. In the books, that's a transfer. And you know what? Dabo is smart. We talk about malleability all the time on this show. The coaches that thrive and survive are the coaches that adapt, are the ones that can look outside and say, listen, we've done it this way. We're coming off a bad year. That doesn't help. But we've done it this way. The landscape is changing. The only way we're going to be able to keep up is by using some of these things that everybody else is. Because guess what? Everybody's doing it. And this isn't the peer pressure thing. Well, you know, your parents said, well, you know, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Well, if your friend got a five-star defensive end in the portal or a guy that was an All-American in the portal that transferred, I, as a friend, would want to get an All-American to transfer, because now you are watching the way it affects roster structure. You're able to go and snipe guys at positions of need where you don't have to rely on a high school kid. I don't care if they're a five-star, a four-star, if they're 6'7", 300 pounds. There's still a learning process that goes down. You still have to experience it and understand it. Very rarely, it does happen, but very rarely are high school guys able to come out and just dominate physically and mentally from the jump. It takes a very special type of athlete. So if you can go to the market and get a guy with experience and get a guy with talented experience and get a guy that has made plays at a high level or has shown the capability to make plays at a high level at a position of need, you have to. Because Cone, if you don't adapt, you die. It's evolution. There's a reason some animals aren't walking around here anymore, and Clemson does not want to go extinct.
Well, we've been saying Clemson must go to the portal for a quarterback. I just didn't realize that they were going to go get a guy who they recruited in the first place. So while on the books, it may be a transfer, I think in Dabo Swinney's mind, what he's thinking is, nah, all I did was loan this guy to Northwestern for a few years so he could get some Big Ten snaps, which I think begs an interesting question. You know, when you see this Hunter Johnson kid coming back to Clemson, you see Stetson Bennett having gone back to Georgia. I think, you know, I'll open it up to you guys. Would you rather see a unique sort of situation like this where you bring back a guy who, you know, who knows if he's going to start or not, but you're bringing back a guy who you once had to add some depth? Or would you rather see like a Kyle Trask situation where a guy sticks it out for the long haul, even though he's not the starter for several years, but he's in your system and he's at your program for 4 or 5 seasons and then finally gets his shot? What would you guys rather have?
Well, I and Blaine, I'll let you answer in a second, but I think there's more than one way to skin the cat. I think it's circumstantial. It's that player. Every player's situation is different. And I love you bring up the Stetson Bennett thing, because now the national championship quarterback, and I know it was JUCO. I know he went to Georgia and then JUCO and then back to Georgia, but it's still somewhat of a similar flavor of ice cream. You know, he knows mm-hmm. where all the good restaurants are. He knows where the locker room is. He gets it. It's not going to be a huge transition because he was already there. But I think it's circumstantial. I mean, you could use other examples. A Joe Burrow transferring or a Brian Robinson in Alabama sticking it out at running back, waiting his turn mm-hmm. with the monsters he had before him and having a huge year. So I think there's multiple ways to skin a cat. It just has to be the type person or the type player that you need to fill that role. Blaine, what do you think?
No, I mean, I would agree. At the end of the day, I mean, as the words of the coach from Division III, the best player plays, you know? And yeah. I think regardless of whether that's a transfer or a guy that's been in your system for 3 years, you know, at the end of the day, the best player is going to play. You know, I mean, and I think for Dabo, in the great words of Ricky Bobby, you know, if you're not first, you're last. Like, I mean, you have to be able to adapt in this game. And what's the worst thing that can happen from the transfer portal? Realistically, is that you build depth. I mean, what do you need in football? Jake says it all the time. You know, depth will win you a lot of games in football just because of the carnage that goes on week in and week out. So I would agree with Jake when it comes to would you rather have a transfer or a guy in your system. You know, at the end of the day, we want the best player that's physically and mentally best at that position. And if you're Dabo, another thing, you're looking at South Carolina right now in recruiting, and they're balling. Mm-hmm. You know, South Carolina's balling right now in recruiting, and that should worry you a little bit, right? I think they went 10-3, Clemson did, you know, and I heard Paul Feinbaum said that the dynasty was dead. They ended up going 10-3. That's kind of funny. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, Dabo, you got to get in the transfer portal because you see the best doing it. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, you see the best doing it. And same thing you say, Jake, you got to adapt or die. And if you're not first, you're going to be last. And Clemson needs to get ahead of the curve on this.
Yeah, and it is. It is what the market bears. I mean, what's out there is what the market bears. And I think it goes to show you that there's not a lot of love for DJ Uiagalelei there. I mean, he had a awful year. I don't know another way to put it. And not only did he look bad, he looked uncomfortable. The game looked a little fast for him. But I know he's a competitor. He's a guy that's competitive. Bringing in quarterbacks sends a message. Especially a guy that has played at another Division I place. Because does Clemson need Lamar Jackson at quarterback to win? Especially in the ACC? No, they don't. They need a guy that is capable. Clemson has the ability, and they've recruited studs on the offensive line. Not so much this year, didn't pan out. But defensively, you look around the guys that Clemson has put into the NFL, the way that Dabo is recruiting and playing. Bringing up South Carolina is a great point. I mean, Shane Beamer's doing the backstroke in mayonnaise right now. Now, I don't know if that's a great thing at the end of the day, but there is a lot of momentum for South Carolina. And Clemson, that was the quietest 10-3 I've ever seen. It really was. Yeah. The quietest 10-3 because they struggled early, starting with the loss against Georgia. But I think Dabo, you know, like we've said, he looks out there. He's smart enough to know you have to change. Nick Saban was smart enough to do it. We saw him doing it offensively. Kirby Smart, we'll see if he keeps evolving. We'll see how that works there. If Georgia gets an elite guy at quarterback with the talent they have, I mean, Nolan Smith's coming back. They've got a bunch of young guys up front that are very talented. I know they're losing Jamari and a couple guys, but they've recruited so well. And when you stack class on class like that, then you can go to the portal and snipe people. Like Bama went and sniped Eli Ricks or Gibbs from Georgia Tech. And you are doing nothing but putting nitrous in a race car. That's what you're doing. Ben Diesel sitting in there looking, saying, I'm going to push the button. That's what Dabo's ready to do. He's ready to push the button. You either adapt or die. And it's going to be very interesting to see how many transfers and how deep Dabo wants to go down the rabbit hole, because it looks like he took the red pill and he wants to see where it ends up. He doesn't want to wake up and everything just goes back to normal the way it was this past year, where they weren't really in it at any point after struggling early, even though they did finish 10-3. So it's going to be very interesting to keep monitoring that and really how many guys that Clemson will take. And you look at the guys that are still out there. I mean, I know there'll be decisions made. There's a JT Daniels, which I want to hop into in a minute, but it's going to be very interesting to see as these quarterbacks come off the board, who's left to go where, because some schools will be kicking themselves about not taking certain guys or maybe taking a guy early and not seeing what the market had to bear. Because, look, it's like playing the stock market, all right? You either got insider trading or you don't. You either know or you don't. So if you don't, you're taking a gamble. It's a huge gamble, and we'll see if it pays off in Clemson.
Yeah, and, you know, Jake, to me, like, Clemson is one of those few universities who can go get the best at the quarterback position. So from my perspective, I mean, are you bringing back Hunter Johnson because you legitimately think he can and will beat out DJU? Or to Blaine's point, are you just trying to add some depth? Look, depth is great, okay? Depth is fantastic, especially as physical and violent as our sport is, you know, and it's over 15-game period now. But at the same time, at the quarterback position, I'd rather have one great guy and try and protect him and keep him from getting hurt than just have two guys who are both, you know, whatever to me. So I don't know. To me, Clemson is one of those rare universities who could have gone out and made a play at like a Caleb Williams, or I know we're about to dive into JT Daniels, but either way, it'll be interesting and we'll see, because clearly that was their only deficiency this season.
It was, and that's a big place to be deficient, and we'll continue to monitor the situation. But I do want to transfer now, speaking of transfers, you like how I use that word, to another subject, kind of within the same universe. JT Daniels has hit the portal. And no, it's not with Raiden and the other guys to go fight for to save the world. He's going to go try and play some. Because, again, it got proven. I don't know who said it. Maybe it was me. We'll have to go back and look at the tape. That Georgia could win without JT Daniels at quarterback. And they just so happened to do that with Stetson delivering the mail. It wasn't like he was unbelievable, but he did what he had to do, and that team around him was good enough and made the plays that they needed to in the end. But there's a few things to look at here, guys. We don't have a huge sample size from JT Daniels. He struggles with injuries. We've seen that multiple times. And when he came in against Missouri, I believe, he didn't look great. He threw a slant pass about 5 yards behind the receiver, looked rusty. No, he hadn't played in a while. You can practice all you want and throw balls in the net and the tire all you want, but until you go out there and show that you can still do it, I think there's some question marks around JT Daniels. But when you look at some of the schools you could go to, Auburn was a name that was being mentioned. Well, they just took Calzada and Robbie Ashford. Don't get me started on that. From Oregon. So I don't think that's a legitimate destination. They're going to have at least two leave after spring. But you look around the country, Clemson just took Hunter Johnson. We just talked about it. There's some schools that I find could be very, very interesting for JT Daniels. And make no mistake, JT Daniels isn't going to Yale to play. He wants to go to another big-time place. So some schools that kind of come to mind to me when you look, Bo Nix going out to Oregon kind of takes them off the board. Looks like Caleb Williams is probably going to USC, kind of takes them off the board. I don't know about the fit at Ole Miss if they were to miss out on Caleb Williams. I know they got Altmyer there, but there are some destinations that JT could really put himself in a position to play against the best competition. He does have good pedigree. My question to you, Blaine, is this going to be the same JT Daniels regardless of where he goes that we saw when he came in at the end there for Georgia and was balling going into the next year before he got hurt? Or is JT Daniels maybe a little, maybe a tad, overrated?
I don't know. I think JT Daniels is a stud, to be honest. And I think he'd be the best fit at a lot of places. And you go through the year, and I know he came into Missouri and didn't look good. I couldn't tell you the last time he played a snap in an actual football game. And kind of what you said, you can't replicate game reps. You just can't do it. Practice is different. The only way you're going to get better is by playing in football games. But let's go through kind of what he did. You know, you go back to the Clemson-Georgia game, and I know a touchdown wasn't scored by an offense, but that's the first week of football. And as all three of us know in here, it takes longer for an offense to get going than a defense. It just does. I think it's more of a chemistry thing on offense, and just takes an offense a little bit longer to get going. Then you go through the next couple games, and he looked phenomenal. I couldn't tell you a game that he actually played in the third quarter in. You know, they were just absolutely running through guys, right? And then he gets hurt, and then Stetson comes in, and Stetson is just above average enough to get him the bag, get him the national championship. And let's not all be mistaken, right? That defense won them the national championship. Hands down, that defense won the national championship. I don't think it was the offense. I think the offense did good enough, right? And you go back to the national championship game, they held Alabama to like 7 field goals. I think the defense won that. But at the end of the day, I think JT Daniels in the next couple of years, depending on where he goes, whether he stays in conference or not, you know, he might be a Heisman finalist. I realistically think he's that good.
Well, Cone, let me put you in JT Daniels' shoes. And I know this is tough because you're not him and you probably never met him or talked to him, but we're going to try this out. We're going to try this experiment. Would you stay in the SEC and say, you know what, I've been here? Or would you say, listen, I'm from Cali. I went to USC at first. UCLA is out there. Could get more of, you know, my type vibe. Are you staying in the East Coast and in the South? Or are you going to scamper back to the Pac-12 where you could look really good really quickly?
Actually, we did meet him at David Pollack's golf tournament,
that's
remember? I'm not going to pretend to know the kid personally, okay? Now, it's no secret, I have not been the biggest JT Daniels advocate. But at the same time, I don't think he's played his final college football game. He can go somewhere and help. Now, to answer your question, will he stay in the Southeastern Conference? I don't believe so, and I don't think he needs to. Look, for JT Daniels, what's the goal? It's to play in the National Football League. And at this point, when you've been injury-ridden and you've gone from one coast to the other, what does he need more than anything? He needs reps, man. He needs quality reps. And if they're against the best defenders in the country in the Southeastern Conference, that would be nice. But at this point, he just needs to go throw the football a bunch of times, figure out how he can play moving forward with these injuries. So I honestly thought Clemson would be a great fit. I don't know how this Hunter Johnson thing, you know, impacts that. And like I, you know, like we just joked around, I don't know him personally, but the little bit that I know of JT Daniels, I don't see him going down to like a Central Florida or Cincinnati. I think he is going to go to a blue blood program who needs a quarterback. So with that being said, you know, what about a Texas? I know they just got the kid from Ohio State, but I think JT Daniels' mentality is like, look, I don't care about losing out to Stetson Bennett. I can still go compete against anyone in the country. I mean, to go play under Steve Sarkisian, you would at least be getting an NFL/SEC offensive mind there. Texas could be a good fit for him. Or look, if he ends up wanting to go back home, I know he's a Cali kid. What about going and playing for Chip Kelly a little bit at UCLA or maybe even a Stanford? I don't know exactly what Stanford's quarterback situation is right now, but if he wants to go to a California school, certainly they have a plethora of universities where he could go offer up his skill set.
Man, that Stanford fit, that's it. That seems like a good fit to me. I don't know how good his grades are, but I think they could find a way. You know, I am interested to see, though, Cone, you brought up Cincinnati. I do think we have to look at them now a little bit different and Central Florida a little bit different because they are going Power 5. I think now that they're going to be in the Big 12 and you look at you know, Cincinnati's prowess now, I mean, that's where the play – and that's why – and I'm not going to get into expanding the playoff. I'm not going to do it. But this is a perfect example if JT Daniels were to go to Cincinnati or the fact that we're even talking about Cincinnati as a destination, it shows what playing in that game can do. It elevates you to a different tier when it comes to not only high school kids, but transfers and high-level transfers. And now in today's game, as we just got done talking about with Dabo and Justin, you have to be able to do things in the portal to help your roster in areas that you need. You lose a Desmond Ridder. Now, Cincinnati's backup quarterback situation, I know they don't have terrible players, but they don't have JT Daniels. And if you're able to go out and get that guy, I think that is a huge feather in the cap of a Cincinnati or a UCF. What say you?
Jay, you and I, and we can look at them differently. That's fine moving forward, but I don't think JT Daniels will. And I'll tell you another interesting thing here. I didn't think about it until you just said that. And Blaine, tell me what you think on this too. But if you're JT Daniels and you just went from Southern Cal all the way to Georgia, who's led by a defensive-minded coach, and you looked around and said, okay, I clearly see what they're trying to do here. They're trying to win with defense, okay, and kind of ground and pounding that, the ground and pound game from the quarterback position is good enough to win a championship, then maybe he's thinking, you know what, I especially this go around need to pick an offensive-minded head coach, someone where I can go do Matt Corral type things. And say what you will about Cincinnati, but Luke Fickell is a defensive guy. So I still think he may go like a Steve Sarkisian or a Chip Kelly route to go play for one of those offensive gurus to get him to what he ultimately wants to do, which is shine in the NFL.
And Blaine, I'll let you answer that, but Cincinnati just lost their OC Denbrock to LSU. So you've got some transition there. You know, again, it always throws kind of a wrench in the process, especially at the quarterback position. I mean, that is a position where the scheme obviously has to fit your skill set or the whole thing doesn't work. You can't fit a square peg into a round hole. Blaine, what do you think about that? That's a great point, Cone.
Man, you know, I agree. I think Cincinnati and going Power 5 would be a little different. So I could see him going up to Cincinnati and out west too. You know, it comes down to what JT Daniels wants. But if it's me, you know, at the end of the day, I want to prove it against the best, right? I want to prove it against the best every Saturday. And so for me, JT, why not stay in conference, right? We kind of just brought it up. What about at LSU with Brian Kelly, right? Joe Burrow comes through there. It can be done. Receivers, you got Boutte at receiver. At the end of the day, you need a quarterback and you need receivers, right? And LSU, they just pop up every day in the state of Louisiana. They're everywhere. So if it's me and I'm JT Daniels, only thing that's ever been said, you're injury ridden, you haven't really done it against the best, right? There's always questions about it, right? If it's me, I'm JT Daniels, don't run. Stay, prove it against the best on every Saturday, go to a big blue blood in the SEC and prove it. How crazy would it be against LSU versus Georgia, right? And JT Daniels, the quarterback at LSU. You know, and maybe even a Florida, you got AR-15, but I feel like there's great opportunities in the SEC at huge schools. And if it's me, maybe I'm just a competitive person, which I am. I hate losing, and I always like going against the best, right? And if it's me, you know, stay in conference.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll tell you another one. Miami. Got Mario down there.
That's a good pick. That's nice.
Van Dyke showed he was good at times, but JT Daniels goes to, I can see, can you imagine? There's some similarities in Southern California.
That's a nice one, man.
In Miami, I'm telling you, I just got my Spidey senses and my Peter Parker's just going nuts right now. You know, I'm just waiting for some guy with eight tentacles and claws to come out of the ground and fight me. They're tingling so much. But no, there's a couple to keep an eye on. It's going to be a rat race everywhere you go with a guy like JT Daniels. The LSU one's interesting. Miles Brennan coming back. As long as he stays off the boats, I think he has a chance. I think him and Brian Kelly are going to hit it off. We're going to talk a little Brian Kelly later in the week as well. But make sure you hit that subscribe button. You turn those notifications on. It's been another edition of the J-Boy Show. We've got some more heat coming with a little bit of college basketball flavor. Bam! Emerald style. Just dropping that on you. Like I said, make sure you subscribe. And like Tuesday is going to be here soon. And JT Daniels from Georgia. And Hunter Johnson from Northwestern. And Robbie Ashford from Oregon. We're going.
Gone. The Volume.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.